Vaughan Payne joins us for a corridor today. Vaughan is the Deputy Chief Executive at Te Pukenga, but he's a former planner in Tamaki Makaurau and a Potiki and Waikato Regional Council, and has some knowledge and expertise on the SNAs. These are significant natural areas, which has caused a bit of a stir, that might be an understatement, in Te Tai Tokorau. Thank you for joining us on the program today, Vaughan Payne. He's in Wellington. Tēnā koe, Vaughan.
Atu mare, Dale, kia pia.
Kei te pai, and it's wonderful to have a kōrero with you. Don't spill your cappuccino though, my mate. It's great to have you along. Vaughan's in a cafe down in Wellington. Vaughan, the SNAs, a lot of our people are feeling that it's putting pressure on us, and that if they are designated SNAs, then we would have to go to the council if we wanted to develop aspects of our own land. What's your understanding of the SNAs, and could you take us back to when you first knew of them and how this situation has unfolded?
Yeah, no, thank you, Dale. And I'd probably start off by saying that SNAs fall under the Resource Management Act, which has been in place since 1991, and they are about seeking to protect significant natural areas like vegetation, native bush, wetlands, and those sorts of things. But being in legislation that's about 30 years old now, they are pretty blunt tools, and there is a need to get a little bit more sophisticated, I suppose, around what we're trying to achieve versus just locking up land. And I certainly appreciate that as Māori, we're pretty sensitive to constraints on the use of our taonga that we have left. We've lost a lot over the years, and coming from a Raupatu tribe where we lost or had confiscated six times the area of Hamilton City, particularly sensitive to things like locking up our land and not being able to use and enjoy it is our ancestors envisaged. So it does fall under the RMA. The RMA is 30 years old, and it has pretty blunt tools, and there is a review going on to improve the RMA. I suppose, looking at the bigger picture, we need to understand what we're trying to achieve under the RMA, and it isn't only about protection. It does also talk about use and development. And so if there is Māori land in a particular part of a council's area, it shouldn't just be about how do we protect Māori land in terms of native vegetation and so on, but also is that council enabling the use and development of that land. So the purpose of the RMA does talk about total wellbeing, social, economic, environmental and cultural, so it's not a single purpose around the environment. And achieving that purpose, the council needs to recognise the relationship of Māori with their ancestral taonga, their land, their water, their forests, the kaitiaki role that Māori has, and therefore do you need SNAs on Māori land because of that kaitiaki role? And obviously, Te Tiriti is an important part of the RMA. Is the council able to achieve what it wants to achieve through a partnership approach? And is it recognising under the Te Tiriti the development rights that Māori have? So overall, the council or any council really needs to step back and look at what are they trying to achieve, make sure they're taking a balanced approach, look at the risks of not being able to achieve what the RMA envisages, and really using SNAs as a last resort, in my view.
Vaughan, some are seeing it as akin to a modern-day land grab, that it is patronising, that Māori will have to go cap in hand to councils to see if they can develop their own land, that Pākehā have turned most of the land already into pasture, and so the pieces of significant natural areas are the pieces that our people have stewarded over the years. And I spoke yesterday with Kevin Prime, who you'd know well, He says the proposed areas, the SNAs, and that regime doesn't go far enough. The council should incorporate Māori plans into their own plans. He figures, too, if we're going to protect these areas, we have to have a lens looking forward hundreds of years. What would you say of some of those dimensions around the SNA, and are you at all surprised that our people are getting hot under the collar?
I certainly support Kevin's view around looking at every plans and therefore what is the bigger picture that and every aspiration for Te Rohe, and how can council partner with Iwi to achieve those aspirations, and what are the various tools available to partner together, and SNAs should be seen in that bigger context. So as I said before, I certainly appreciate the perception of a land grab, because an SNA does restrict your use of your land if it does have a significant natural area on it. But if we do step back and look at that bigger picture, we know that poor water quality is an ongoing concern of ours. And so there's also an opportunity to look beyond Māori land and look at ensuring that, particularly if those water bodies are deteriorating, can those water bodies also be identified as significant natural areas and constrain uses? You know, maybe there's some upstream uses, some farmland that polluting that waterway. By that river being a significant natural area, you immediately, if you like, impose constraints on all activities impacting on that water body, including surrounding land uses. So that's a stepping back, looking at the bigger picture of the entire Rohe, whether it's Māori land or non-Māori land, water bodies, and what are the best tools in the toolbox to achieve those aspirations that iwi has. And certainly councils are required to take into account iwi management plans, and that requirement has been in place since 1991, over 30 years, and they do need, if those plans do exist, they do need to demonstrate to iwi how they have taken those plans into place. So they're a very effective tool to, if you like, hold councils to account in terms of that bigger picture.